You're an idiot. If you got your Bible, go to the book of Psalm chapter 37. And yes, I've been called worse. Psalm chapter 37, please. And let's stand together out of respect for the Word of God. Psalm chapter 37, and I'll draw your attention to verse 5. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 5. Let's read it together, shall we? You ready? You all there? Psalm 37, 5. Here we go. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you tonight or this morning. Father, it's good to be in church. It's good to be in church on the very first day of the year. And Holy Ghost of God, I pray you take control of this mind of clay and these lips of clay and this tongue of clay. And God, help me to think precisely what you'd have me think, and then speak precisely what you'd have said this morning to your people. Lord, I've brought some sermons. I've been working on some sermons as you've given me liberty and clarity. God, I pray you'll take control of everything. Help me to say what needs to be said and not say what doesn't. Father, I pray you encourage your people today. Thank you for a brand new year of blessings where we can, and opportunities, God, that lie ahead. We don't know what they are, but we look forward to them. And God, we want to thank you for how good you've been to us in the past and what last year has brought a lot of good times. It's brought some hard times and some heartaches and some burdens. But God, through it all, we've seen you bless. We've seen your hand. We've understood that you've been in control of it all. And we thank you for being good to us and loving us. Thank you, Lord, for Grace Baptist Church. Thank you for the pastor and his family and Brother Cole and his family. And Lord, the people that are here, Lord, I sure do appreciate them. One of my supporting churches. And they're just, many of these folks in here have become friends. I preach here a time or two a year. And Lord, this is just a great church, and I sure do love it. And Father, I sure do thank you for the people today. I pray you bless your preaching today. I pray you bless your people today. God, I pray you bless your word today. And I pray this will be the start of something great in all of our lives. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat. Yes, I'm a little bit excited. I'm living on vitamins and caffeine. Hallelujah. And I take a lot of vitamins, and I took a pile full of them on the way here. And hey, somebody get that. It's for you. It's the Lord. He said, hang up your stinking phone. No, look, I don't know who it is. Don't get mad at me, please. You can get mad. I already got my love offering. I'm hoping the pastor will not watch. He's going to watch us and go, man, I can't believe he did that. Hey, I'm an old man. I just sometimes, you know, when you get older, you can kind of get away with a few things. But happy birthday. Today's your birthday. Today is my first son. Today is his birthday, January 1st at 10:25 in the evening. I was hoping if the first person had a baby in our neighborhood or in that hospital in that region of South Jersey where he was born, the first child born on January the 1st, they give them all kind of stuff. Well, my son had to be number 3. All we got was a bill. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning, and maybe tonight also. I always pray out the old year and thank God for what it was. And normally, last year was the first year in a long time I didn't come up with a theme in my mind, that God didn't give me a theme in my mind. For the last 2 years, my theme has been, I must. Since 2020, my theme has been, I must. And God gave it to me before COVID. And I've just preached for the last couple of years on I must. And it started with Jesus, and I must be about my Father's business. And normally, but every other year, except for the last two, God's given me themes. I try to think of the year 2023, and I try to think of words in weeks or months before I'm asking God, I want to know what you want me to preach on, what my theme is going to be. Not that the only messages I'm ever going to preach are going to be this, but as I started praying and begging And I started thinking about 2023. What rhymes with three? And God said, commit it to thee. Commit it to me. So, my theme for the year is in 2023, committed I must be. You see, I'm afraid today in our society, people haven't committed to anything. We have forgotten what commitment means. And this morning for a few minutes, and then this afternoon, tonight for a few minutes, I'm going to try to talk to us a little bit today about this in 2023. Committed, you and I must be. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Let me give you the definition for the word commit. Now, I want everybody to look at me and pay attention. Teenagers, I want you to be looking at me. Commit. What does commit mean? It means to carry out. Commit means to carry out. It also means to do or to perpetuate, to continue. It means to give in trust or to give in charge. Or in other words, to consign something to someone for safekeeping or storage. It means to bind. Commit means to bind or to obligate as by pledge or assurance. It means to entrust, especially for safekeeping. So God, in the Word of God, He uses, and by the way, the word commit, I did a sheet on the word commit. The word commit, as far as I can tell, in all of its many different forms, is used about 188 times in 175 verses. So the word commit is very important to God. God expects us to understand. When God says something one time, look at me. When God says something one time, let me pick out a child. Let me pick out a child. Can I just pick on you? Because I'm not going to pick on your sisters. Because they're cute and you're not. I'm just kidding. When your dad tells you to do something, how many times do you think your dad, how many times does it take? If your dad tells you to do something, you say, well, Dad, he's got to tell me about four or five times before I do it. When your dad speaks to you, when he says, hey, son, go do this, do you think he wants you to do it right then? Yes. Oh, okay. You learn right, same way I learn. When my dad looked at me, you know what that meant? That means time to get moving. Dad's got something in mind. Son, you didn't sit in your chair. If you heard your name, Lewis! Number one, I'm thinking, uh-oh, I better get there fast because I'm in trouble. But when he said, go take out the trash, it was not a suggestion, Mr. 14-year-old. Happy birthday, by the way. When was your birthday? The 18th. The 18th? Dude, they missed it by 2 weeks. Don't tell anybody. 2 weeks, you're slipping. Listen, when my dad said take out the trash, it wasn't a suggestion. It was a statement of fact that he expected something to take place immediately. God, when God says something one time, He's no different than my parents and your parents. Most of us had parents that when they spoke, we listened and acted immediately because we knew if we didn't, there were consequences to those misactions, which means somebody was going to get whooped. Now, I don't know what they called it at your place. They didn't call it a whooping because I'm not from the South. And I'm not American. I didn't grow up as I'm an American born here, but I grew up in a Sicilian Italian family, and they just said, "We're going to give you a beating, and we're going to beat you till we're tired." And that was for medicine. That was for when they spoke one time, they meant something. God uses the word commit and commitment and committing, committeth and commit. Listen, 188 times. Do you think he means what he says? The very first time the word commit is used, it's used in a negative fashion. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, God says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." God said, "Here's what I don't want you to give yourself to. Here's what I do not want you to carry out. Here's what I do not want you to do. Here's what I do not want you to perpetrate. Here's what I do not want you to consign yourself to. Here's what I do not want you to bind or obligate yourself to or to pledge yourself to." He says, "Do not commit adultery." The very first time the word commit is used. May I say, in Psalm chapter 37 and verse 5, God says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." In Proverbs chapter 16, you don't have to go there. I'm just going to read you a few of these. But in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. And then he says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, people that are committed to God and to his work, when you're committed, I mean, when you're pledged, you've pledged yourself, you're all in, you've promised you're going to carry out and perpetuate and give yourself fully and trust yourself to, you're going to bind yourself to what God said. When you bind yourself to God's word and God's way and God's work, God says, "I'll take care of your thoughts." You know, people that are committed think differently than people that aren't. People that are committed think differently than other people. How many people have been in the military? How many men? You were in the military? What branch of service were you in? Coast Guard. Thank you. Anybody else been in the military? Listen, if you were in the military, I got a couple boys in the Marines. I got family. My dad was in the Navy, and I didn't want to be told what to do, so I didn't join. But when you're in the military, most people go in the military because they want to be in the military. And they go there. Can I tell you something? They commit themselves. They wholly give themselves to this thing. I had the privilege of going through the Naval Academy down there in Maryland. And I got to go to Annapolis. And I got to go through the Naval Academy. And I got to meet a whole bunch of students. I got to talk to a whole bunch of young officers. And I got to preach to them. It was a fun time. And I got to pick their brain. And I asked them, can I tell you something? When you talk to these young people, I'm talking about young people that are in that are between 18 and about 25. I mean, they're just sold out. I mean, they're all in. I mean, they're willing to give their lives for a cause, for the military, for their brothers in arms. They don't think like everybody else. You know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about the mission. They're thinking about, how do I succeed? How do I accomplish? How do I keep my friends alive? How do I achieve my goal? Listen. Can I tell you something? People, that they're committed. This is all introduction. I don't even know where this is going. I got 6 pages of notes and 12 more pages over there. I'm just warming up. Just give me a little bit. I've had protein and coffee. Hallelujah. And vitamins. I'm good. They think differently. Committed people think differently. I can tell what you're committed to by how you think and act. God says, commit thy way unto the Lord, and thy thoughts thy work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Can I tell you, if you're committed to Him, He'll take care of the rest. But if you'll commit to His work, God says, I'll cause you to think differently. You know what? I talk to a lot of pastors and a lot of preachers because that's what I am. And I fellowship with a bunch of them. And the ones that are, I've met a handful of them, not many. I've met a handful over the course of the last 40-some years doing this. I've met a couple. I've met a couple that I'm wondering, why are you in the ministry? Is that okay to say without? I've talked to them. And you talk to them and, you know, they want to talk about golf and they want to talk about everything but Jesus. But I mean, they don't act like the rest of us. They're just weird. I've only met a handful of them. I'm not picking on you because you like golf. But you said it in Sunday school.
I did say it.
Huh?
I did say it.
You did say it. I took you down a rung in my book because... I don't know nothing about golf except that I don't ever want to chase no white ball around with a club. Now, if you throw the ball and I can shoot it with my shotgun, I'm in. I can't hit it with my pistol. I already know that. I've tried. But can I just say, committed people, I believe, not, I don't believe, I know the Bible teaches that they think differently. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Paul said, hey, this charge I commit unto thee. What charge? This one. Timothy, I'm going to give you the book. I'm passing this down to you. Now it's your turn. Can I tell you, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Can I say, if you're going to go to war, it's not going to be for you, for the Christian. It's not to be with a rifle. It's not to be with a pistol. It's to be with the Word of God. That's what we're to go to war with. And when Paul told Timothy, Timothy, I'm going to give you what God's given me. You've got the same call on your life I have on mine. I pass along the book to you. He said, I want you to use it and run with it and war with it. I'll give you another verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul said, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In that verse, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, there are six generations of people in that. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's six verses, six generations in that one verse. You know what God was saying? God was saying, if you'll commit, it'll perpetuate itself. Because commitment, he says, commit. He says, and the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Listen, I want you to understand, this thing about commitment is serious. And I'm afraid, in America, we have forgotten the word commitment. We have forgotten what it means. Because I picked on your son, I'll pick on you. And I ain't going to pick on him, he's bigger than me. But in our day growing up, that was a commitment. That was a commitment between men. My dad sold a house, and all he did was the guy walked in and said, I'll take it. They didn't haggle about price, I'll take it. They shook hands. Wasn't no lawyer involved. All they needed was a handshake between gentlemen. Between men that understood. And it was a done deal. I've watched them crazy old Sicilians and Italians in my family. When they shake hands, I mean, that thing's binding. And everybody knows. We have forgotten what commitment means in a family. Right. Where a husband's committed to his wife and a wife is committed to her husband. We have forgotten about the marriage bond and vows. It's a commitment. I commit myself to you. You commit yourself to me. It's not 50-50. It's 100%, 100%. We're all in. I don't know where Sam is. He's all out. Listen, marriage is serious. It's a commitment. Do you understand in America today, 51%+ of marriages end in divorce. Why? You say, they just don't love God. No, they don't understand the word commitment. They have no idea about commitment. Committed themselves. Listen, they come to a marriage altar, and they get here and they commit themselves to each other in the fear of God and amongst all these witnesses. God says, and teaches in the Word of God 188 times. He uses the word commit. Some form of the word commit. I believe he's extremely serious about the word commit. May I say this morning, take your Bible and go to Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 37. And let me just start the message. That was the introduction. Let me just start a portion of the message. I want you to find Genesis chapter 37. And I want to talk to you about this thought in 2023, committed, I must be. Because I believe I believe commitment takes some things. I believe commitment takes some serious things. Look at chapter 37 of Genesis and look at verse 5. The Bible says, and Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheath. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams, for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying, and his brethren went to feed their father's flocks in Shechem. Listen. I make this first statement, I won't get past the first point, I don't think. But commitment, if you're going to make a commitment, commitment takes a hard walk with God. That means this: commitment takes a hardening and a toughness. Because a lot of people say, a lot of people want to commit, but commitment, if you're going to commit it, you're going to have to be tough about it. Here, God gives Joseph a dream. Joseph is committed to this thing. He's like, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. I'll do what you want. This wasn't a dream that you ate because you had pickles and ice cream and pizza, and this is not that. This is a vision that God gave Joseph for his life. And he didn't understand it all. And he's a young man. He's a teenager. He's a young man. But may I say, as he rehearsed this dream, may I say, commitment takes a hard walk with God. I mean this. It takes a hardening and a toughness. Joseph was hated by his family for his dreams. The plan that God had given him. I wrote something down while you were teaching Sunday school. I wrote a couple thoughts down last night. And then I added a few things as you were teaching Sunday school because you were making some. Matter of fact, I wrote a sermon while you were teaching Sunday school. It was, you missed it. If you weren't in Sunday school, you just missed it. You should have been in Sunday school. Amen. You're welcome. I wrote this down. The visions, plans, and truths of and from God will be yours and your contact from God personally. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God gave Joseph a dream. God gave Joseph the plan for his life. He didn't understand it all. But can I say this vision and plans and truth that came from God for you to commit to, God says, they're yours personally. They're yours personally. God said, I want you. I want you. Can I tell you something? When I read my Bible, God does not speak to you when I read my Bible. He speaks to me. Amen. You ain't in the picture. He's speaking to me. You know why? Because he wants me totally, personally. It's my contact with God. God gives, and God says, when I read the Word of God, God says, I want you committed to what you're reading. I want you to understand, it's yours. This is for you. This isn't for anybody else. Now, sometimes he'll give me something for me that I get to share with everybody else how he's dealt with me. But can I tell you something? I've never preached a sermon. I have never, ever preached a sermon that God didn't preach it to me first. I never have. I don't even know how to do that. I mean, there are some guys that can get up and preach sermons, man, and they're oracle, and they're just wonderful, man, and listen to them, you sit there and go, wow. I'm not that guy. I'm that guy that's in your face that spits on the first 2-3 rows, and it just is what it is. I'm not eloquent. I don't have big words, except for D. Philip Antonio, that I can say well. That's it. I know some of them. I looked the rest of them up. But the bottom line is those visions, plans, and truths that come from God will be your contact. They're yours personally. Your contact personally. Can I say these visions and plans and truths that came to Joseph, that come to you, will cause you problems. The Bible says his father and his brethren hated him. Hated him. All he did was tell him, look, this is what God wants. Look what God says. This is what God gave me last night. How about that? What kind of stupid dream is that? You're stupid to have a dream like that. You're stupid to have a God that you follow like it. You got to be stupid. You think I'm going to follow you? You're out of your stinking mind. He was hated. I mean, his dad wanted to whoop him. How do you know? It's in the Greek. His dad was just, his brothers were upset. Listen, you got to understand, he was the baby of the family. Now, I've got 10 grandchildren, and the littlest one gets away with murder. I mean, she just does, she gets away with all kind of stuff. She can have anything she wants, and if somebody else has got it, hey, give it to her. I shouldn't do that, but I do. I'm grandpa. I just, if you don't like it, go home. Joseph's the baby. He's the little guy. Now, he's 15, 16, 17 in this passage of Scripture, I believe. And he gets a dream from God. He gets a vision. His brothers don't have one. They're jealous. Can I tell you something? They were upset. His dad didn't have this vision that God gave Joseph. And his dad was upset. Can I tell you something? When you get committed to a cause, when you get committed to the Lord, and you commit yourself to His work and His way and His will, not everybody's going to like you. And in order for you to carry on and to move forward, you're going to have to be tough. You're going to have a tough exterior. You're going to have to be able to take some barbs and some dirty looks and some hurtful words. Oh, you think you're better than anybody else? Oh, we're supposed to worship you? Hurtful words. When my wife was in Christian school years ago, she's not here, I can say that. When my wife was in Christian school, she was a good Christian. She was a good Christian girl. She still is. She's a far better Christian than I am. I mean, I'm trying, but she's just a good Christian. But when she was in Christian school, we were engaged the last month and a half of her senior year. I was in Bible college, and we were engaged. She was coming to Bible college, and we got married a year after that. We got married literally a year after that. I won't recommend anybody be engaged as long as we were, a year and 3 or 4 or 5 months, that's stupid. Get engaged, get married, be done with it. Amen. Just do it. Get engaged, 3 to 6 months, get married. Don't last forever. If I've made you mad, talk to the pastor. See him when Southwest lets him come home. He's not the only guy stranded. I got friends stranded all over. And I'm like, that's what you get for flying. Bless God, unless they shuts my car off, or shut the gas station off. But here's the thing. The thing is, not everything you do. My wife, her girlfriend, some of the girls that were in her school didn't like her. They called her names. They picked on her. They always challenged her, always wanted to try to fight with her. And one girl, after school, my wife said, this girl says she's going to beat me up after school. My wife is a senior in high school. She's 17 years old. She's never had a fight in her life. I've been fighting since I was 7. I go to the school, and I pick my wife up. I'm picking up the whole family because there's like a whole bunch of them. So I have the car. I'm picking them all up. And this girl comes out, and she was going to pick a fight with my wife. And I jumped out the car, and I went, hey, you're bigger than her. You're uglier than her. You shouldn't have said that, but I did. And I said, why do you want to hit her? And the girl looked at me. She goes, I'll hit you. I went, that might not be the wisest thing. Might not be the wisest move you make today, little missy. I said, because I will give you one swing, and then I'll knock you out for Jesus. No, I wasn't going to hit her, but she didn't know that. My girlfriend, my wife, she's going, huh. The pastor's going, I can't believe you said that. My wife was simply committed to living for God. And there are people in school that just wanted to whoop her just because they were jealous. They were hateful. Can I tell you something? Don't expect to be committed to the cause of Christ and think, whoo, it's all going to be great now. I've committed to the military. Hey, the next 4 years are going to be a breeze. It's going to be easy. Ain't no stinking such thing as an easy day. Easy day was yesterday. What they say in the SEALs. The easiest day was yesterday. There's no easy day. I grew up on a farm. There's no easy day. Easy day is when the day's over, you get to go to bed. If you're going to commit to the Lord, you're going to commit to do something for God, you're going to commit to something, don't expect it to be easy. And don't expect everybody to understand. And don't expect everybody to be with you. Ain't going to happen. Just not going to happen. I went to Bible college. I probably told the story here, but I went to Bible college. I mean, I committed my life to the Lord. Bless God, I'm all in. God called me to preach. Bless God, I'm going to go do it. I'm on my way to Hiles Anderson College. My grandmother looked at me and she said, "You can't go to Indiana. They kill Italian people out there." I went, "Grandma, what?" "Yeah, they do." Now, I'm 22 years old. My mom, weeks before I leave, my mom says the same thing. She goes, "Honey, they don't like Italians out in Indiana. They'll probably kill you out there." I'm going, "You sound like your mother." My mother and my grandmother talk on the phone twice a day, every day of my life, of their lives. What are you saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying commitment takes a hard walk with God. You've got to get tough. You've got to have a hardening and a toughness. The Bible says, listen, Joseph was hated by his family. The Bible says this in Genesis 37:9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more." Listen, the Bible says in verse 10, and he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him. "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? What is this thing that you've committed yourself to that God's given you? What is this thing? You think I'm going to be involved in that? You're out of your mind. You're an idiot. You're a fool." I've heard people tell me that. I had committed my life to God, committed my life to Christ, not only in salvation, but God has now called me to preach, and I'm all in. Teenagers, put that stinking thing away. You're driving me crazy. Teenagers, pay attention to me and put your pens away. I'm nice this time. The next time I won't be. I was committed to go to give. I had committed my life to the Lord. You know what, God? I thought everybody's going to understand. Everybody's going to be okay with this. I had Christian people calling me on the phone telling me I was crazy. "You can't do that. You're crazy. You're an Italian. Ain't no Italian Baptist preachers." There are now. By the way, there were. They just didn't know about them. I met Frank Cuzzo and Mario Shadina, and I met a Spinelli and a Marino and a whole bunch of us. I said, "Hey, there's a bunch of us." They laughed at me like I was crazy. I had committed my life to the Lord. And I found out, I don't think everybody agrees with me. Didn't matter. But you know what? I know people that, I had a young man that was in my church that I believe God had called him to preach. And he went out, he was there for one semester. And he quit. And he bailed on God. He's in heaven now. He's in heaven now. Died early. Died in his early 50s. He said, people had bad-mouthed him and laughed at him. And his whole family, except for his mom, his whole family just belittled him. I was his friend. He was my roommate. I said, "Come on, man. You got to keep going. One day he just disappeared. "Where's Don?" I said, "I have no stinking idea." Nobody saw him for a couple of weeks. And he went right back to his job, right back to his old life. He said, I don't want to deal with all the aggravation I got to deal with. He ended up very successful. Ended up making he ended up having several million dollars. Didn't do him any good. He died of a massive heart attack. And never enjoyed any of it. Out of the will of God. I think simply because he had committed, but it got too tough. Got too tough. My freshman year, listen to this. My freshman year of Bible college, we had over 800 800 freshmen in our freshman class, 1980, Hiles Anderson College. 4 years later, Christmas, when I came back in January, you know how many came back? Just over 400. 50% of them were gone. The ones that they said, man, I'm in. Where'd they go? Can't find them with the FBI. Not that I would want the FBI looking for me. Bunch of devils. We'll leave that alone. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Now I'm just a truth teller. You're welcome. Anyway, my freshman, listen, my senior year when I graduated, out of over 800, you know how many I graduated with? About 120, 125 that just lasted 4 years. Of those 125, about 75 of them were preachers. You know how many of them are in the ministry right now? About 35. Where the rest? I have no idea. They made a commitment, but it got tough, and it gets hard. Anybody notice your light bill went up? You wait, it's coming. Listen, things are tough. Things are going to get tough. My light bill, 2.5 times higher than it was this time last year, than it was December. They say my gas is going to go up 2.5 to 3 times to heat my house. I said, I could barely pay it last year. I don't know who's paying it this year. And I went, what do I do now? Ain't so easy, is it? Never has been. Just keep going forward. But it's hard. Really? I've never had gone through any pain for you at all. I'm talking to the Lord. Just in case you want, who's he talking to? Listen, Joseph's brothers hated. He was hated by his family for his dream. He was rebuked by his father and his family for his dream. Joseph was betrayed. Listen, let me read you a verse, and I got to quit. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18, the Bible says, and when they saw him afar off, now Joseph, he's already told the dream, that his brother went out and they're all tending sheep, and he's home, and his dad sends Joseph out to go see his brother. The Bible says, and when they saw him, Joseph, afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Slay. They're going to kill him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. This wasn't, behold, the dreamer cometh. It was, behold, this stinking, low life, no good, filthy, rotten, blankety blank, son of a blank dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Do you understand? There are people out there that absolutely, you're going to have to be, commitment takes a hard walk with God. Joseph had no idea that his brothers were premeditating murder. How would you like that as a family? I know a few families like that. Their name ends in I or O or E. You'll get that in a minute. I know some other families that, are like that. Let's just kill him, and we'll see how well this dream works out for him. Can I tell you something? If you're going to commit yourself to God, God says this, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He doesn't say when. He doesn't say how or how long or what you're going to have to suffer. But he said he will bring it to pass. Can I give you an illustration in the room without making everybody in the room mad? Can I give you an illustration? It'd be okay. Don't get mad. And the person I'm going to talk about, don't you get mad at me either. But I remember about 6, 7, 8 years ago, when a fellow in this room started a business, and the bottom fell out of our economy, the bottom fell out of his business. He didn't know how he was going to make ends meet. And I called him one day and needed something, and I came up, and he put new tires on my vehicle for me and gave them to me at cost, because he chose to, not because I asked. But I was thankful. And he was struggling to put food on his table. He was struggling. And he told me, he says, things aren't the way I planned it. I said, they never are. I said, but you got enough grit in your crawl to just keep going forward. He goes, oh yeah, we're just going to keep going. I asked him this morning, I said, how's things going? He goes, I'm turning stuff away. I got so much work. I said, you're welcome. Because I've prayed for you. Others in this room have prayed for him. His pastor's prayed for him. Listen, there are people in it. But you don't see the victories if you quit midstream. You got to get tough, and you got to get a tough hide. And you got to get some toughness about you. I don't mean mean-spirited. I don't mean that at all. I'm not talking about being mean-spirited. I think you can succeed with a good attitude and a smile on your face. You ain't got to be mean, but you got to get tough. I'm looking at a lot of folks in here that have gray hair, just like yours truly. You know what they've decided? They decided they're just going to keep going forward no matter what. And all those gray hairs are hair. You know what they are? A gray hair ain't like regular hair. Gray hair's tough. It's unruly. You just can't fold it wherever you want it to fold. How do you know? Because sometimes I wake up in the morning, I look like a cat that got stuck its foot in an electric socket, and it just, wah! And I wet it and comb it, and it just, and them hairs, they're just the white ones. They just stick, the white ones. Not the black ones, the white ones. They do what they want to do. So I got to go there and I clip them off with the scissors. Bless God, I ain't going to do it. But you know what? A testimony of the grace of God and the goodness of God and a perseverant toughness. These folks have got gray hair. I'm not talking about if you're 20 and you got gray hair because you put powder in it. I'm talking about people that have earned it. There's just something about them. They're not going to be easily put off. They're not going to quit easy. You know, I got to thinking, when my dad was a boy, and I'm quitting somewhere, but when I was a boy growing up, when I was your, how old are you? 13. I was going to say 12. So you're 13. When I was your age, how old are you? 13. How old are you? 13? 14. You're 14. When I was about your age, my dad would tell stories. Man, they were just, how old are you, honey? How old are you? When I was all their age, my dad would tell me stories, my grandfather, about what it was to live in the Depression, what it was to grow up. You got it made. We didn't have nothing. We had a black and white TV that was that big. And we had one in the family. And our family was a lot of people. We had a telephone. And Grant, well, everybody had a phone that was hooked to the wall. You didn't have all the stuff you got nowadays. And nobody called you unless they really wanted to talk to you. You lived meagerly. You didn't have loads of food. I don't know when McDonald's came into existence, but there wasn't a McDonald's in our town. And if you go to McDonald's, God bless you, because I don't know what you're eating. And neither do you. We'll leave that alone. See me later, and I'll explain to you exactly what you're eating. You don't want to know if you eat there. Just Leave me alone. I'll move on. I've done my homework. You ain't taking me to McDonald's. Ain't nothing McDonald's I want except their cash register. My mom and dad would tell me stories. Brother, they'd tell me stories about how tough it was and growing up with nothing and getting a candy cane for Christmas and a pear and an orange. Then they show me pictures. This is what Christmas looked like. And I mean, look under the tree. There's nothing under the tree but the blanket. And there was nothing there. I'm going, wow. And as a little kid, I'm thinking, wow, that's crazy. Now I'm an old man, and I'm telling my grandchildren the same stories. Because we didn't have a whole lot. We'd get one gift and a few pieces of candy in a stocking that was just, you know, that big, but it was only about that much full. Now, we didn't have a lot. We didn't have anything. And my mom would put an orange in there. She knew I didn't like oranges. I like grapefruits and them big brown pears. She'd put a brown pear in there or a grapefruit in there and a candy cane or some M&Ms. I like the peanut ones. They didn't even have them then. Y'all are blessed. You got peanut. You got peanut butter. You got almond. You got a candy cane, peanut M&Ms. Glory to God and the Lamb. They're good. I had a bag the other day. I'm not supposed to be eating any sugar, but I did it for Jesus. I'm talking to my grandchildren. I said, you know, I'm looking at how great we've got it, how good God's been to us. But can I tell you something? Growing up, it wasn't like this when I was growing up. It just wasn't like this. You all got gifts. I said, I don't ever remember having this many gifts under a tree ever growing up. Ever. And I said, I'm telling the same stories my dad was telling. You know what he was saying? He's saying, if you're going to live this life, you got to get tough. You got to decide you're going to stay with it. I asked Dad one day, Dad, he'd been married 60-some years. Dad was a couple months from heaven. I said, Dad, how did you stick with Mom so long? He said, what are you talking about, son? I said, how did you manage 63 years? I mean, didn't she drive you crazy? She still drives people crazy. She's in heaven now. I'm kidding. Just kidding, Mom. I said, Dad, you guys used to argue and yell at each other? He goes, yeah, but I was just arguing and yelling. He said, everybody does that. He said, I made a commitment at an altar. He said, I made a commitment when I put a diamond ring on her finger. He said, when I put that diamond ring on her finger, I made a commitment that you're mine and I'm yours and that's it. My mom and dad would argue. But if you're not Italian, you don't understand arguing. I mean, an Italian is arguing and throwing stuff. That's just, Mom could throw a shoe and hit you at 20 yards away. Pow! I forgot I got Italian people in the room. I'm telling you, she could. Am I telling you the truth? I'm grandpa. Ah, boom. I ducked one day. One time I ducked. You're supposed to let it hit you. But I ducked. And she hit the coffee pot right behind me. The beating I got, I didn't sit down for days. And it wasn't with her hand. And it wasn't with the belt. It was that spoon on the wall. Cut it. It was scary. I said, Dad, he says, I made a commitment. He said, when I said for better or for worse, I meant exactly what I said. He said, and it's been a lot better. There's been some worse. He goes, there's some bad days. He says, you're always going to have bad days. He said, I made a commitment. He said, I'm a man of my word. My dad was 87 when he went to heaven. I miss him. Wish I could talk to him today. I miss him, my hero. And God was just a brute. He was just a man. If I could be half of what he is, I'd be a tremendous Christian and a tremendous man. But can I just tell you? My dad said, I made a commitment. I never even thought about it. Never heard. Never one time in all the yelling and screaming and throwing stuff, I never heard the words, I'll just leave you. I'll just divorce you. I never heard them say that. Never. What are you saying? Let me quit. And then you come back tonight and I'll finish what I was saying. I believe in 2023, committed, you and I must be. And if we're going to commit to the Lord, if we're going to commit thy way unto the Lord, if we're going to commit thy works unto the Lord, if we're going to do what Paul says, and it says, I commit unto thee this charge, son Timothy, I commit to thee. If we're going to commit ourselves to pass along what we have, if we're going to commit, can I say commitment takes a hard walk with God, and we're going to have to start now and develop some toughness, some hardness. A tough hide where words don't offend you. And you, number one, I think you ought to be kind. The Bible says you ought to speak properly. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I think we ought to speak properly. But when people don't, you ought to understand, they're just toughening your hide. Amen. They're just toughening you up. When you first went into the military, I don't know your thing, but I know this. When my boy first went into the military, them boys went in, they couldn't do 15, 20 push-ups. When they came out, they were doing one. They'd do 100 just looking at you. All they did was push-ups and sit-ups and run. They ran till Jesus was tired. I mean, they could run. They did a 20-mile run with a 35-pound backpack and then the 60-pound rucksack. 20 miles. I'm going, dude, I get tired of driving that far. But it didn't start out like that. You worked your way up to it. Can I tell you something? Hardness, getting tough. When you're committed, you make that commitment, and then you run into a little opposition, and you keep going forward, run into a little more opposition, you keep going forward, and run into a little more opposition, and you keep going forward, till eventually you realize, man, you grow in grace and in knowledge and in strength. In 2023, I'm done. Committed. You and I must be. We must be committed. You come back tonight and I'll tell you some of the things you ought to be committed to after I finish my sermon. But I believe it's one of those key ingredients in the Christian life. Key ingredients is commitment. There's salvation and there's service. There's just something about being committed. Commitment is one of those key things in the Word of God. All through the Word of God, you see illustrations of commitment. You come back tonight, we'll show you some. But I wonder tonight, are you committed? Why don't we start the new year, the first day of the new year, why don't we make a commitment to the Lord? Say, God, in 2023, committed to you, I will be. Not I must be, I will be. I believe this morning we ought to decide as his children, I'm in. I'm all the way in to the end. I'm in. But understand, it's going to take a toughness and a hardened shell. It's going to take a grit in your crawl. It says, bless God, I'm doing this no matter what. I don't care who's with me and who's against me. I'm in. Not everybody you start with, you'll finish with. I promise you.